You're listening to SBS News.
You have been announced as the Eurovision representative for Australia. Can you tell me about the exact moment when you found out?
Well, as soon as I found out, I just stood up instantly because I was told by SBS, you guys. And then I stood up and I was like, where's Ashton Kutcher? Because I was like, this is not real right now. And I remember I found out as well, I was like, I need a call. I just want to call mom. I want to call dad. And I remember I was like still being asked questions and being like, you know, this is what you needed. And it was so hard to like listen and process everything when I was so excited. Yeah,
that would have been crazy. I saw the social video of you calling your parents.
Oh, that's so funny. Mum's reaction. She always gets me. I knew it was going to be good as soon as I called her and they were like going to film. And I was like, perfect.
It must have been a surreal moment. How did it feel like, you know, to actually know that, you know, you were going to be representing Australia?
Sorry, ask that question one more time.
How did it feel to know that you were representing Australia for Eurovision?
I feel like representing a whole nation is the most honourable, exciting thing like anyone could ever receive. It's the dream that I never thought I would ever be living. It's insane.
Yeah, and, you know, your song, The Milkshake Man, you know, some can interpret it in many different ways. You know, you say that it's, you know, it's deeper, it's about the psyche, it's... It could just be about milkshakes, but can you just tell me a bit about the meaning of the song?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's like it's the beautiful thing about songwriting is like you can write a song and it can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. But the way that I wrote the song, I wrote it with Shepherd, who are an amazing, they're an amazing band, and Jay Bavinio as well. And the song is about confidence and like me as the mascot of self-expression and being a larger than life, vibrant character, and with the hopes to inspire other people to be like, you know, I want to be like that. I want to be the most colorful version of myself. So it's like and it's in the second verse as well, where I talk about the shake it's not a drink. It's a state of mind. And it's like this thing that we have in us, and it just needs to be unlocked. So I hope to be that thing that unlocks that inner power in everyone else.
Yeah, and in terms of that, and, you know, understanding your upbringing as well, you know, you're from remote WA and started playing the guitar as a teenager. Now you're in Sydney, you know, with songs already receiving wide attention, you know, like Mrs. Hollywood. What does it mean to be able to can you tell me a bit about your journey to, you know, choosing music and, you know, that sense of, you know, that confidence that you say?
Yeah. So, I feel like a lot of people don't really see the backstory of things. So, you know, when I released Mrs. Hollywood, a lot of attention came out and a lot of things started moving quickly. But before that, it was like, you know, I was just going through, I used to work as like a construction laborer, and I would basically work so I had enough money to work for like on music, and I would just immerse myself in music because it was all I knew, it's all I wanted to do. And you know, when you do that, those things, like I found that a lot of people didn't really understand what I was doing, and I, you know, again, I felt a lot like, you know, the world was kind of against me when I was doing it. And, you know, it's another reason to why I wanted Milkshake Man to be the song too, just, you know, just touching back on that, just like, you know, expressing that confidence within and being comfortable in your own skin. But yeah, I worked just, for about 7 years, I think, on just like music. And then I started showing my personality a lot on the screen and on social media channels. And that's when I started to notice, like, you know, the rocket kind of take off.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously construction work, and I know that you used to play footy as well. Like, what's it like to, you know, obviously these are things that are very stereotypically very masculine. What's it like to choose music over all of that? Was there any sense of, like, battling that you had to do at all?
No, it was, I was passionate about both at the time, but I've always been quite spiritual, especially the way I grew up and, you know, the just being so free on the farm. But it was I just had so many things knocking on my door being like, you need to do music. And there was some like just insane coincidences that were happening around it, and I just was listening, and I will always listen to, like, you know, the universe for that, because yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I ended up being on Eurovision, which is just, yeah, it blows my mind.
Yeah. Can you tell me a bit about your upbringing and, you know, your mother and your father, who's French?
Yeah. So we grew up on a property just outside of Manjimup. It was about 30 Ks out, and we didn't have electricity, running water, or phone reception or anything like that. So it was everything was very, yeah, like independent and isolated. We were very isolated from society. And I actually remember, like, funny story, when the first time I was introduced to Eurovision was through a VHS tape of Waterloo by ABBA. And we literally watched that, and it was from a TV that was powered by about 10 car batteries, which is quite interesting. And like, us kids would have to move a solar panel during the day into the sun, which would charge those car batteries so we could use the TV at night so mum could check the weather and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so obviously, you know, you talk about how you saw ABBA. How did that shape you and your music?
Well, Eurovision has all, I mean, my dad just being French as well, it's like, you know, I feel like I've been influenced by a lot of, like, the culture of Europe, and because my dad is also Italian, and my mum comes from a very European background too, so being, I've always been around, you know, that side of music, and I know my mum loves more pop music, and then my dad is, like, he loves, like, the instrumental music, the world music, and, yeah, he just, and so I feel like getting a combination of both of those, and yeah, I like to write songs based on feeling, and that's what I get from a lot of the music that I grew up with as well.
Yeah, when was the moment when you were like, I want to be part of Eurovision?
It was, well, so I'd always watched the song contest, but then it was like, it was last year, my guitarist mentioned to me, he was like, and he doesn't even remember it. I've literally talked to him about this all the time, and I'm like, how do you not remember that? And it was because apparently he was like half asleep. We were on tour in Germany, and he was like, oh, Marty, you should do Eurovision. And that's all he said on it. And that was the stem to, like, you know, me being here today, which I find just, like, again, it's like, you know, you've just got to, there's some things that some people would say that, like, you know, you've just got to listen to, and it can change your life, just one line from someone.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, it's that one line, and, you know, right now, you are part of, you know, kind of promoting yourself, and, you know, I know you're big on social media, millions of views on your stuff. How excited are you for what's to come, and how are you going to use social media, you know, in terms of Eurovision and promoting yourself?
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful thing about social media, is it's not like a newspaper where it just goes out to like a regional part of the world or a regional part of your country. It's like, you know, it's all around the world. And there's lots of ways to cater to that too. And, you know, even when I can't wait to go out to Europe and immerse myself into the culture and try different foods and, you know, meet different creators, meet the other Eurovision contestants as well. And so, and I just want to immerse myself just in the world of Eurovision and, you know, just make Australia proud and show all the fans how much I love the competition as well.
And I know that you obviously ride the unicycle and you can play the guitar at the same time. What are you going to do? Are you going to do that as well for Eurovision?
As in terms of like on the stage?
Yes.
Well, I can't. I'm keeping the stage. I'm keeping the stage a secret because it's like, I think that I want to keep you surprised.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sure.
I want to keep you, you know, like on the edge of your seat. Like, I wonder what he's going to do.
All right. Can you tell me a bit about that? What made you want to try and learn those skills to be able to do both?
I just feel like I just have this brain where it's like I see something and I just become fixated on it. And it's like ice skating as well. I love ice skating and I've recently become really good at it because I've just like, when I find something that I love, I'm just like, I just want to ice skate. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, is there any ice rinks open right now? You know, it's the same thing with unicycles. I learned unicycles when I was in high school and I remember just seeing it and thinking it was the coolest thing ever and it was a challenge and I love challenges.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, Milkshake is, you know, it's a sugary song, but I know that you love broccoli. Can you tell me about your love for broccoli? I've seen the videos of you busking as well.
Yeah.
And what's that obsession and what makes you want to spread that?
Well, so it comes from my background and, you know, like we weren't financially stable growing up. So we learned to live off the land a lot. And, you know, a big job of mine was to, you know, cater for the vegetables in the garden and help Dad out with that. And I remember I just always loved broccoli. I love lettuce and broccoli. It's like so much. And then I just had this idea one time when I was at a cafe, what, like 28 years later, no, 26 years, 28, 26 years later or something. And I was at a cafe and I was just like, I want to put broccoli out on a sign and just, you know, see how it goes when I'm busking. Because I just thought it was just like a wild idea. And then as soon as I put it out, just the reaction it had immediately, like people walking past and they're smiling, they're like laughing. And while I'm busking, I hear people, they're like, oh my God, like, look, there's broccoli over there. And it's like just the reaction and the joy it brought to people was just the most obvious answer to be like, it's staying, I'm going to keep it. And yeah, and then it just, yeah, everyone around the world just loved it. I always get called the broccoli guy or the broccoli boy. It's people bring broccolis to my shows. It's hilarious.
Do you reckon you could encourage more kids to eat their broccoli for Eurovision?
Well, I've been told that I have. I've had a few messages where, like, you know, there's kids just eat, like, plowing broccoli. I've had messages on, like, you know, the prices of broccoli in different parts of the world. And, like, you know, what is this cheap compared to where you are? It's, yeah, I'm really, really the broccoli man, I think.
And what do you think your, you know, big goal is, you know, this year for Eurovision? Are you going to make us win?
It's definitely, I mean, knowing that we haven't won before is such a drive for me as well. And just making Australia proud, doing the best I can. And yeah, and I'm a very competitive person. And I know that the one thing that I really want to do is be the first person to win Australian Eurovision.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it, Marty.
No, thank you.
I wanted to give this to you.
You gave me a broccoli?
Yes, yes. Understanding, you know, your love for it.
That's high definition too.
Yes, exactly. You know,
if only it was real, I'd be like, damn, what are you using in that soil? That's a big broccoli.
Look, we were thinking about it, but then we were like, ah, oh, damn, it's like $13 in Uber Eats and just kind of...
I'd love to know that, yes. I wasn't worth $13.